from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app. YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher. Across the faux marble table is not Rashawn Taylor. Give you an update on that here soon. But we got Jordan Schultz across the glass, of course, as usual. How are we doing this morning, Jordan?
Cold, which is good. The studio is set to about 66, and I love it. I'm going to stay in here for 2.5 more days until the heat wave ends.
Yeah, it's a balmy 67 degrees in here as well. I don't know about you, but I have not spent more than 4 minutes outside. Three minutes outside over the last 2 days, I'd say.
That's fascinating, especially for you, because you are such a... If I had to describe, like, who out of the guys at the station, Jordan, would you expect to be outside on a general weekend?
Nope.
I would say Joe Fisher. Like,
nope.
Hands
not
down,
happening.
Not in 100-degree weather. That is fascinating. No, I haven't been outside much either.
We got some straight psychos that work at this station. Yesterday, I saw Dirt was playing golf at Persimmon.
No.
Which... Tip of the cap to you, you know, dedicated to the game. I would not golf in 100 plus degrees.
It's going to be lobster dirt on Monday.
Would not be doing it. Great scorecard, by the way. Good for him.
Oh, good.
Brandon Sprague was on a bike ride yesterday with his family, which, again, I mean...
What are we doing? Was this
you could still hang out with your family and not go on a bike ride on a 100-degree day.
I mean, was this like a 7:30 a.m. bike ride?
I hope so. I pray for the kids' sake that it was as early as possible. And then I got a text from the lady friend yesterday that because her and Sook's girlfriend are good friends, and she hits me with, Jason is going on a 36-mile bike ride today. Seems a little psychotic. 36-mile bike ride yesterday in a skin-tight bike riding suit, which, so that's three on this station alone that went out and did outside activities yesterday. I'm not kidding you. The only outside activity I did yesterday was drive in my car. And that was to go to the store for some beverages, and then I came right back home.
Smart. That's the way to do it.
Other than that, I was inside all day. I have watched more soccer in the last 48 hours than I probably have in my entire life. I have played plenty of video games as well. I am now officially on the Kansas City Royals roster on MLB The Show.
Oh, let's go.
We grinded. We grinded through AA and AAA what baseball. Position? Third base, hot all corner. Right. Yeah.
Same. Mariners third base, but now on my MLB The Show account.
I went and did the combine, and so it put me on a team automatically. I would have gone to my Orioles, of course, but the Royals, they had a need at third base, and so they went with Joe Fisher, and they drafted me the tenth round. Just was mashing at AA and AAA, and we're up in the majors, baby.
Oh yeah, I hit like 90 home runs at AA and AAA. But it was stupid, and I'm like, should I increase the difficulty on this? No, this is fun.
So, yeah, I mean, for the next few days, again, I will be inside the entire time. I see no reason other than to be at some sort of swimming hole, some sort of pool to go outside at all.
So yesterday, my wife and I, we live with a pool in our HOA, so that was a nice little night swim that we got to do, like from like 9 to 10 last night.
Little humble brag, right there.
Oh my gosh, such a fancy setup with kids from every corner of the neighborhood screaming. Yeah, no, it's amazing. But
that reminds me, before you know,
it's all good.
No, you can continue. But there is a pool story I have to get to. But you were saying,
I love pool stories. Like we don't have anything that crazy that happened this time around. But yeah, it was a nice little night swim in like 83 degree weather at like 9 p.m. last night. My wife and I went out before noon for God. We tried like a 15 minute walk. It was pretty much impossible. It was, I'd say maybe half of what we normally do. We just cut it off, turned right back around, and went home. We're like, all right, babe, let's order some food. And yeah, I went up to the mini mart, grabbed some beer, grabbed some milk, and we just sat at home. And then found a little $150 night up at Seaside for tonight. So we're just totally getting out of this, and we're just going away for the evening. And you know, I think the worst 2 days of this heat wave are today and tomorrow. We're just skipping it and going to the coast. So.
I don't blame you at all. Luckily, the weather is supposed to turn down a little bit as far as temperature wise before the Fangolf Classic on Thursday.
Yes,
I'm teeing off at the 1 o'clock round. With a few of the guys from the Portland Pickles, which should be a fun group to play with.
Start of the heat of the day, though, brother.
But yeah, I think we're supposed to be getting up to high 80s on Fangolf Classic that day. So yeah, we are right in the thick of it that day. You talking about going to the pool though did remind me of a very unfortunate story that I saw in the Portland metro area the other day. So I'm sure, like many Portland residents, people all around the Portland metro area trying to find a way to cool off, and they say, hey, let's go to the community pool.
Yeah.
This from OregonLive.com. Poop shuts down Portland pool during heat wave. Four nice. Public aquatic centers closed as city sizzles. First of all, tip of the cap to Shane Dixon Kavanaugh, the writer of this article, who just straight up in the headline, just poop shuts down Portland pool. Also, good. Was that alliteration right there? Poop shuts down Portland pool.
And good on him for just like throwing it out of the headline and not making it into like a joke or whatever. Like it
malicious
was
fecal distribution,
something awful like that. There's many there.
In the article, it says an unfortunate fecal mishap and a mechanical malfunction prompted Portland officials Friday to abruptly close a pair of public pools, bringing the number of shuttered city aquatic centers to four amid a sizzling heat wave. So someone dumped in the Sellwood outdoor pool, and apparently, according to the chief of staff of Portland's new vibrant community service area, they said that it has to close for at least 24 hours when that happens.
Y'all,
when someone lays a baby Ruth in that thing.
What are we doing? And by the way, we've got to check on the age of who ended up doing this to see if it was an actual, like, unfortunate situation or if this was, you shouldn't have been here.
It was 100% an adult. Well, I blame the adult in this situation.
Well, then don't go to the worst, greasiest restaurant of your life the night before and then plan on going to the pool the next day, even though you've got bubblegum rumbles. Like, I think I'm going to head to the pool anyways. If it is an adult, we know it started at like 7 a.m. that morning. They're sitting there at 11 a.m. in the pool like, I probably shouldn't have been here.
The barbecue from the 4th of July day before was not settling well, apparently. Shame on that person, whoever that was. And I'm going to say it was an adult because I feel like that, while that happens to kids, I feel like adults are probably more guilty of that. If we were to run a poll, a pool poop poll, I feel like adults are more guilty in those situations than kids.
Yeah, I would say so.
I feel like that's more of a, you know, age 18 and over are pulling that. Because I feel like kids, like, for the most part, regardless of age, they'll let you know. They'll let you know. They'll call you. They'll tell you, mommy, daddy, I need to go poop. And then you rush into the bathroom. They usually take. Very rarely do you just see little Timmy dropping trow in the pool unsolicited and not saying anything. Going pee, yes. All right. Everybody is guilty of that of all ages.
Just a psychotic random dump. Did you ever swim in the pool? Because I remember doing this more as a kid maybe than now, but like with babies with diapers on. Because I remember going to the community pool and there would be families that would bring their young children.
Yeah, they got swimming diapers.
Yet I didn't know if they were swimming diapers or real diapers. To me, they looked like real diapers, which sounds suspiciously like malicious fecal distribution in a whole nother way, but nobody really polices that. So I'm just wondering what the level of fecal police is like at the pools, because this stuff happens. This stuff slips out more than we think.
We need fecal police at pools. Just someone uniformed going around.
Oh, this segment just opened up a can of whoop ass this morning, didn't it? Oh, dad joke, pun intended. We're going.
So the weather, you know, stay inside if you can. Go to a cooling center. Go to a pool that is clean. Go to some sort of river, lake, something to cool down. Just do your best out there. This on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. I work outside and I'm totally dreading Monday and Tuesday. Got to start drinking water now.
Bro, I'm so sorry.
Hey, you know, kudos to you. I appreciate everybody that has to do an outside job. Any food truck restaurant workers,
Starbucks, Dutch Brothers, all the coffee like dudes and ladies out there that are sitting at the window.
I mean, just Godspeed to you. And yeah, drinking water, man, that's something I've been doing lately. I don't know if you've heard of this whole thing called drinking water. It does wonders.
You've told me it really is helping you feel amazing. Changed your life.
What a revelation, drinking water. Before we get to going here to the Sports Sunday poll question and the show itself, wanted to give you a quick update on my co-host Rashad Taylor, because as you may have noticed on the YouTube stream and in this first segment, he is not here. If you weren't listening last week, he did inform us and the listeners that he's going through some unfortunate medical issues right now. And it was discovered about 2 weeks ago that there was a tumor that was growing on his kidney. To use his words to describe the size of it, cantaloupe sized, which is that's pretty large. So he went under the knife on July 3rd, which was Wednesday. And I had reached out to his mother. I sent him a text the day before just saying, hey, here are my thoughts, you know. Thinking of you, man. Just hope everything goes well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he had a surgery on Wednesday. I reached out to his mother just to make sure that the surgery went okay. I know that he was having some worries, as does anybody going under the knife, that there are some complications from surgery and something that could go wrong. She let me know that the surgery went fine, that everything went good, and that he was resting up. And just, you know, if there were any updates, anything else to let me know. I left it at that. I wanted to obviously just kind of give him and the family a few days to get any sort of news and updates that they need to for next steps. So hopefully going to be reaching out to him today, tomorrow, his mother, and getting a few more updates as far as what the next steps are for Rashad. We're just hoping that this isn't the C word, you know, that they got everything they needed out of his body, that this isn't a cancerous tumor that spread to other parts of his body, his pancreas or colon or anything like that. So that is the biggest wish and hope right now, is that they took care of everything and that it was benign, and that he, you know, this was just a health scare, if anything. That could be my naive, you know, blinders mindset on right now, that, oh no, he'll be fine. He'll be back in a couple weeks. We don't know. So I hope for the best. I'm trying to stay optimistic for the sake of him, and also just because he's doing the same. He is as optimistic as possible about this. So that is the latest on Rashad Taylor. Yeah.
No, his optimism, I think, is what's going to get him through this. Like, this is such a scary thing to happen, and so sudden. I mean, literally a month and a half ago, you know, I had his wedding, and then he's coming to us and telling us this. And I'm sure there are people out there that have suffered, you know, similar things themselves or had family members dealing with this. So there are people listening that know how scary this is. And Rashad was just so positive, though. And that's the thing. Like, he makes me want to be better. But knowing how positive he is and hearing my wife say, like, this is what gets people through these kinds of ailments is the positivity. He's gonna be fine. Rashad's gonna be back here. I don't know, maybe it will be a couple of weeks. Like, I doubt it, but you know how fast he heals. You know, I mean, he's been sick and then been right back here. So I predict that we will see him sooner than you and I expected.
Yeah. So hope he's doing well. Hope he's recovering. Again, hopefully I have some more updates for you. Not next week, because I am now informing the listening audience and yourself, Jordan, that I am going camping next week.
Oh, okay.
So I will be out at the Trask River near Tillamook.
It's like it's a Schultzy and Schultzy version. No, I'm just kidding. I'll call Will.
Yeah, that or just take the week off, because this leads to my poll question for today. The Sports Sunday poll question, and brought to you by Hung Far Low Chinese Restaurant. Defunct former Portland Chinese restaurant. Do you remember the sign down in downtown Portland?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Hung Far Low. Besides baseball, what are you viewing to get through the dog days of summer? Soccer, WNBA, other, none. Shark Week tonight. That's
Shark
right.
Week.
Shark Week starts tonight, baby, on Discovery Channel. What I do appreciate is Nat Geo. The other day, I noticed that they had some shark programming on, and they're like, oh, it's shark month on Nat Geo. It's like, wow, bold move by Nat Geo, just being like, we're going to take your pansy ass 1 week, and we're going to up that up by 4 weeks. Suck on that, Discovery Channel. So they have a whole shark month going on right now.
Well, you and I both know that we all have the attention span of goldfishes, and we'll remember that it's going on for 2 days and then check in at the end of the month and be like, oh, yeah, it's still shark month. That terrible marketing plan.
Yeah, Joey, my son, was not a fan of me watching Shark vs. Surfer. That was a program he wished I changed immediately. But right now, in the leaderboard is other at 42%. So that could be golf. That could be someone said, responded to the poll question, Tour de France going on right now.
Yeah, Hard Knocks, off-season, Giants version going on right now.
Could be Wimbledon. People getting down on some tennis.
Swag loves tennis. I know that.
42%. Other, 31.9% soccer, whether that be Copa or Euros going on right now. 20.3%, none, Shark Week tonight. And at 5.8%, WNBA. Huh. That's weird. I thought everybody said that they were watching the WNBA now all of a sudden.
I mean, I tuned in to watch Bronny James' Summer League debut.
Oh, dear God.
I will admit, well, I'm sitting at home playing video games, hanging with the wife. What else am I supposed to do?
Like I said, I got a career to make happen on MLB The Show, okay? I got to be the best damn Kansas City Royal third baseman of all time. All right. Hopefully get traded after a few years, because I definitely don't want to play in Kansas City. All right. Let's get this thing going here. We have a lot of different things to talk about, as a matter of fact, even if it is Dog Days of Summer, including big move in the NBA. We have three kings in Sacramento. We get to that next here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Text in to the Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326 with what you are watching right now during the dog days of summer. Someone on the text line says, just the Olympics, and I listen to 1080 religiously, and that's as sportsy as I get till August. We actually have some Olympic stuff for you later in the show. We'll get to that.
I love me some Olympics. I'm actually excited. That'll probably be my filler for the rest of the summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm big on Olympics. I think I've talked about this, just staying up randomly until 2-3 in the morning watching air rifle or surfing or skateboarding or
whatever the hell is on.
I love just going through the Olympics app or NBC app, whatever they're going to have it all on, and just being like, ooh.
Oh, it's going to be on the cock.
Women's weightlifting? Yeah, sign me up.
Absolutely. Women's hammer throwing, men's shot put. Those dudes, by the way, I mean, it's like Will Ortner before he lost weight. That's what those shot putters look like. It's pretty insane.
So, yeah, let us know what you're watching right now, because right now on the Sports Sunday poll question, besides soccer, WNBA, and none, Shark Week tonight, other is running away with the poll, 39.2%.
Do they still throw Sharknado, like 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, into the Shark Week
I hope not.
Programming? I swear, because I remember, I mean, everybody and their mother, who's like a C-list celebrity, has been in it, but I'll never forget, like, seeing Tara Reid on the promotion trail a decade ago for that crap.
They do have the schedule posted on Discovery.com, hosted by John Cena.
Who just retired, by the way, announced his retirement after 2025 from fighting.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're going to have Sharknado on there. I hope not. But I think maybe the Sci-Fi Channel might have rights to that.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember who owns Sci-Fi, if it's either the Discovery or whoever owns Max or whatnot.
They do have shows such as Big Shark Energy.
What's that about, like, the biggest sharks in the world or something?
The sharks with the biggest dong, maybe.
Oh, my God,
Big
really?
Shark Energy. Great White North, Monsters of Oz, the real Sharkano. Whoa. Maybe we get a shark volcano that spews sharks.
Dongs, volcanoes, and sharks. Let's go. This is the summer that I needed.
Alien sharks, ghosts of Japan. What? Are you kidding me?
So we're combining
6,000-pound shark.
One of my favorite.
Expedition Unknown, Sharks vs. Nazis in Paradise.
You're combining my favorite categories of, like, mystery and like, people dying and ghostly stuff along with sharks. And, yeah, they're starting to catch me here.
I'm going to have to Google some of these to see what the synopsis are. This is fantastic. All right, before we get to off the rails here with Shark Week, big move. Big things happening in the NBA. And it includes, of all teams, one of the biggest teams in all of the NBA that everybody is locked in on at all times, wondering, what is this team going to do? The Sacramento Kings. Yes, that's right. The Sacramento Kings. They are the winners in the DeMar DeRozan race. That is your newest Sacramento King. DeMar DeRozan is going to be signed by the Sacramento Kings, and he will be joining De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis in Sacramento. Whether this is a huge move for them or not, they needed it because last year they were a play-in team, didn't even make the playoffs. This coming off of a year where they had a great year 2 years ago as the 3 seed in the Western Conference. So going from the 3 seed to not even making the playoffs as a play-in team to now getting DeMar DeRozan, which essentially forms your big 3 in Sacramento. And if you take a look at their roster, there's, you know, 7-8 man depth chart essentially. I'm liking what the Kings are putting on paper right now. I am a big fan of this move. I think that it's what needed to be done for Sacramento. You couldn't stand pat. And when you look at what some of the other teams in the NBA are trying to do to take that next step, especially in the Western Conference as well, a deep Western Conference where 1 through 10 is a crapshoot, it seems like every year. Kudos for them winning this contest, winning the rights to DeMar DeRozan over some other teams, over the LA Lakers who were trying to go for him. Sacramento Kings loading up for this 2024-2025 season.
I mean, as a Blazer fan, thank God I don't have to see DeMar DeRozan in a Laker uniform, because we've been hearing about like him, Jeremy Grant, all these really good names going to Los Angeles. All right, get to wipe that sweat off my head. Like, they have to figure out how to make it work with Bronny James still. I'm in on that. As far as the Sacramento Kings go, I love this move for them. I do believe DeMar DeRozan's on the older side, obviously, getting towards 35. One of the best 3-and-D leagues, or excuse me, 3-and-D wings in the league. The Blazers always were at least calling about him, you know, like when they desperately needed a 3-and-D wing to pair with Damian Lillard. Never could get in on him, but now the price is a little bit better with this sign and trade. Still making, I mean, we were just saying before the show that these salaries, I'm never going to understand exactly what the rate is for specific players. Like Malik Beasley getting a $6 million 1 year contract, being one of the best 3-point shooters in the league, makes no sense to me. But an aging DeMar DeRozan, still with his reputation as one of the best 3-and-D wings in the league, gets $25 million a season. I'm not sure I like that part of the deal. But I do love the acquisition for the Sacramento Kings. He's going to be shooting for you. He's going to be paired with really great scorers in De'Aaron Fox. And then DeMontis Sabonis, who I also really wish the Blazers would have been in on when he was acquirable for nothing. I mean, what did they trade for him from OKC to Indiana? Like a bag of chips and a halfway decent mid-tier NBA player. It was really a very low cost of acquisition when DeMontis Sabonis started to break out in the NBA. Now he's an all-star. And then you got Keegan Murray as well, what we hope Chris Murray turns into, why the Blazers drafted him here in Portland. He's basically, I think, their fourth best option at this point. He averaged, what, 14, 15 a game for him. Sacramento
lights out shooter.
Yeah, exactly. Sacramento looks loaded. I love Mike Brown as their coach. I never thought that, I can never understand why him and LeBron didn't work. Mike Brown is one of the smartest minds in the NBA. He's an X's and O's guy, and he knows how to be the rah-rah coach, which is like the one skill that Doc Rivers has. He's a terrible X's and O's guy. So Mike Brown has the ability to put it all together. This acquisition for Sacramento, in my opinion, vaults them to the top 5, guaranteed, in a very crowded Western Conference next season.
Yeah, when you look at this Sacramento Kings team now, I mean, the trade as it goes, so they will be sending Harrison Barnes to the San Antonio Spurs and then to the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls will get Chris Duarte and 2 second-round picks. Hey, Oregon Duck, Chris Duarte.
And Harrison Barnes, he's past his prime. I mean, he's only 32 still, but we are talking about an aging Harrison Barnes here.
Yeah, I mean, hey, nice little move for the Spurs, just basically like acquiring savvy vets around Victor Wembanyama to just be a pro and learn the league. I mean, put Harrison Barnes and Chris Paul around Victor Wembanyama, and then you got Stephon Castle over there now. I like what the Spurs are doing this offseason, but obviously, as far as the team that's trying to win now, the Sacramento Kings making this move. So you got DeMar DeRozan, you got De'Aaron Fox, you got DeMontis Sabonis. You hope that Kevin Huerter can return to form in his first year with the Kings, because he had a little bit dip last year. But then you have sixth man of the year, Malik Monk. And I'm trying to think, did he win it 2 years ago? Because I don't think he won it this year.
No, I don't believe he did. But Malik Monk is.
Or at least has been close to winning it. I mean, he is one of the best six men in the league. And then, as you mentioned, Keegan Murray as well. This is huge. This is a great move for the Sacramento Kings. And as you mentioned, Jordan, it keeps him away from one of the teams in the Western Conference who is just having a hell of an offseason. And that is the Los Angeles Lakers, who we'll get to here in a second. But
did not win that award, but was in the voting. Yes.
Yeah, Malik Monk, he's been damn close like 2 years in a row now. But Sacramento Kings, they're making the move. They're making a move that other teams wanted to go and get DeMar DeRozan. So light the beam. Light the beam, baby. Sacramento Kings are back on it. And again, we'll see where it leads to them in the Western Conference. Injuries aside, this is a solid formation of these three players. But as we mentioned, they kept them away from one team in the Western Conference, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers. And boy, oh boy, they're having an offseason to forget. We're going to get to that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy, Sports Center update.
Yes! Damn, we're close.
48 days. I saw this at first. It was 9 Sundays left until the first NFL Sunday of the 24-25 season. And I was like, all right, well, how many days until college football? And week 0 is August 24th. We got to start doing some little previews here soon for all of football. The August 24th, the week 0 games. Can I entertain you with some Delaware State at Hawaii?
You know what? I'm all about the Rainbow Warriors.
Is that the Blue Hens? No, Delaware State is the Hornets.
The Hornets versus the Warriors. I like that. And I believe it's in like Hawaii's soccer stadium. If you don't know what's going on with Hawaii, Aloha Stadium was condemned a few years ago where they play their football and baseball games because of all the rust that is acquired in a tropical climate. Shocking. Maybe you shouldn't have used metal beams to be the main support of a stadium where you're going to rust really quickly. So now they have to build a new stadium and essentially are the only team allowed by the NCAA right now to be under what the Division One or, sorry, FBS rules say, which is, I believe, like 12,000 seats for a stadium. And Hawaii right now is in like a 7,000 or 8,000 seat stadium. It's a little weird, a little wacky down there in Honolulu.
Which is why the Oregon game versus Hawaii got canceled for this year.
Exactly. And honestly, I'm a little upset about that because I was planning. This was obviously, I think, an easy one for Oregon to cancel to allow the schedule in joining the Big Ten to also make the Civil War happen with Oregon State. But I was definitely disappointed, as I'm sure we're a lot of other Oregon fans for that.
University of Delaware. Hi, I'm in Delaware. They are the Blue Hens. Delaware State. The Hornets, Montana State at New Mexico, SMU at Nevada, SMU of the ACC.
Not taking any money from the ACC either.
You know, because SMU, you know, Texas, we think of the Atlantic Ocean, right?
I mean, the fact that SMU is still a program is pretty amazing in itself, right?
Hey, they fought from the depths of hell and
yes,
got
they
back
did.
To prominence.
Yes,
okay?
They did.
And then the prominent game of week 0, Aer Lingus College Football Classic, Florida State versus Georgia Tech in Ireland. That is the marquee matchup of week 0. Florida State versus Georgia Tech in Ireland? Okay.
Why isn't Notre Dame in Ireland?
That's much better than Nebraska, Northwestern, or whatever the hell they threw out there a couple of years ago.
You got it. If we're going to do the Aer Lingus Classic, then it's got to be a Notre Dame v. some other big program.
Well, that's what they did last year.
It's got to be that every year.
Notre Dame versus Navy, a vaunted 42-3 matchup.
I mean, back in the day, they played like college basketball games on aircraft carriers, and I'm pretty sure it always involved the Navy.
Yeah, I remember on April Fool's Day, they released a graphic for a college football game to be played on an aircraft carrier.
I remember that.
And a couple people fell for it. And Andy Dirt Johnson was adamant that it could be done. And I was like, no. It like, not in the sense of like logistics wise that it's like, oh, well, we play basketball games. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot different than kicking off on a aircraft carrier and that ball shooting past 50 yards off the aircraft carrier. Or what if someone throws like a Hail Mary and the wind catches that thing? Absolutely not. There's no way that could be pulled off. The size of it could fit a football field, yes. I know that you could actually play a football game on an aircraft carrier as far as dimensions go, but if we're out on the ocean trying to play football and then a ball gets thrown in the air, the wind is carrying that thing off of the aircraft carrier. That thing would be a mess.
My vertigo is going nuts right now just hearing you describe this. No thanks.
Well, something else that's going nuts right now is the Los Angeles Lakers fan base. Or probably not, because they think everything's just fine because they're the Lakers and that there's nothing wrong with their franchise. And as long as they have LeBron James, everything's good. And might I say, thank God for LeBron James taking a pay cut. What a nice guy. It reminds me of Xerxes. I am a generous God. Like, he, what a guy. Taking $3 million less than the max, taking $101 million over the next 2 years. I mean, kudos to you, dude.
Big man.
What a nice guy.
Stepping to help up, helping them, the team.
To help them get under the second apron by $45,000. Could have gotten under that second apron by, I don't know, not giving Bronny James a contract, who had a magnificent, just amazing,
it was electric.
Summer league. Just, I can't believe what I saw yesterday out of his 4 points.
2 of 9 shooting.
In his summer league debut yesterday. The Los Angeles Lakers are such a joke. Like, it is, I really, really wonder if they do care about winning a championship at this point, or they are just going off of like, hey, we're the Lakers and we're just going to sell a ton of merchandise. We're going to sell this stadium out every night. Doesn't really matter if we win or not. They have become the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA.
I would say that the Lakers are probably the most...
They already probably were, but now that the fact that they aren't winning, and say what you want about the bubble title, you know, hard title to win, I guess, being locked in Orlando for however much straight, but everybody, I mean, you could just say that that is a anomaly of a year in general. It helps when you have a 4 or 5 month break and you get all your people back healthy as well. But outside of that, dude, like, this team is such a joke. You miss out on Klay Thompson, which I don't know if that's much of missing out on right now at this point. Miss out on DeMar DeRozan. Right now, the reports are saying they're going to be going after Spencer Dinwiddie or Gary Trent Jr., which Trent Jr. is a free agent, so I don't know how the hell you're going to make that happen.
Didn't they already try Spencer Dinwiddie? I'm confused.
That's what I thought, too.
Like, I'm like, am I in the Twilight Zone? I'm pretty sure he was a Laker already, and he sucked.
Yeah, so I don't know what their next options are, but just, you know, thank God for LeBron, just being as nice of a guy as he is. I love also some of the reports, like, for the first time in over a decade, LeBron James will take less than the max. He took $3 million less than max. He's still taking $101 million over the next 2 years, and he only did it to help them get under that second apron, which helps out with future draft picks that they won't that they'll be able to trade now and get rid of if they want to. It's such a joke. It is such a misguided attempt at trying to make, I guess, the Lakers and LeBron seem like they're going to make a move still and make something happen. Well, the move that they're going to make is not going to move the needle. It's not going to make any difference on this team. Do we see this team really being any different next year as far as performance, overall record, what they're able to do in the playoffs? This team has been a play-in team, an 8-seed, 7-seed, whatever, for the last 3 years. What's going to change? I mean, even when you had Anthony Davis last year fully healthy, you weren't even able to get into the top five of the Western Conference. LeBron James is aging. Yes, I know that he is a much different 40-something-year-old NBA player than most 40-year-old NBA players out there.
It's true.
But it's like, what else are you going to get out of him? What are you going to get out of this Lakers team that you haven't already gotten the last 3 years? Like, it's just going to just pop all of a sudden, and this is going to be a one-seed dominant force that the West doesn't know what to do with?
Yes, J.J. Redick is the secret sauce. That's exactly, I think, what's going to happen, Joe. And I think that's what they're expecting.
Also, I don't care what anybody says. If J.J. Redick isn't doing a podcast, he is not the coach of the NBA Lakers. If he was he being, before he was doing his Old Man in the Three podcast, was there any talks about him being an NBA coach, a head coach, assistant coach at all? Or was it just a matter of him starting to do the podcast, working with LeBron, showing that he does have basketball knowledge, because he clearly does, obviously. But outside of that, if he is just at home or running clinics or coaching his son's team or working, like, does he get this job? No. So again, just everything this offseason with the Los Angeles Lakers, has been an absolute joke and an epic failure. And to me, I don't see why any Laker fan should have faith in what this franchise does going forward, because it's an absolute joke from LeBron to Pelinka to Jeannie Buss, top to bottom. This franchise is a joke.
I mean, they're still paying Gabe Vincent, what, $11 million a year after that free agent acquisition last year? Didn't work out very well for them in the playoffs. I look at the Lakers as, I would say, not just in the NBA, but the most incestuous franchise, the most incestuous organization in all of sports, right? And they're damn lucky that they had one of the greatest, not only players of all time, you know, in Jerry West, basically vaulting them to national prominence, along with a bevy of roster of others. But what I'm trying to say is then having that same passion stick around to try to run your team to turn them into a champion. And literally, the Busses would be nowhere if it weren't for Jerry West, right? They are lucky that he decided to put his life into trying to make that team something. They are lucky that he had the wherewithal to trade Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant. And they would be nowhere. I mean, fake Rob Lowe, because, yeah, Rob Pelinka is literally Rob Lowe's twin. I still think Rob Lowe's taken off, like, the Weight Watchers wig and then going to these games and giving these press conferences as a, quote-unquote, Rob Pelinka. But the Lakers are one of the luckiest franchises of all time. They are so small. We are seeing the incestuous vibes from them with this doing anything to please LeBron mentality that they have, anything to keep him in town. And you bring up a great point about him taking way less money, way less, being $3 million, while still expecting that the Los Angeles Lakers give his son a fully guaranteed, what, 3-4 year contract. And I believe the rookie scales $1.7, $1.8 million to start. So as a rookie at 55 overall, and he's bronze kid, but he is getting more than any 55th overall pick has ever gotten in NBA history. And that alone should have told the Lakers, you know what? No, like we can't make this work. But the story is so much more important to them, in my opinion, at this point than actual championships, that they will do absolutely anything to keep LeBron happy. And I don't think you're a fan, just like I'm not a fan of asking athletes to take less money, Joe. But I do believe LeBron James could have pulled a Tom Brady, could have pulled a Patrick Mahomes here.
A lot of athletes in a lot of leagues can pull a Tom Brady. It's just...
Yeah. They should. I mean, and he's the guy that has the power to be able to do so, I guess, is what I'm saying. He's got so many career earnings. He's got billions coming in from Nike for the rest of his life. What is one or two seasons with a $20 million salary in the NBA? And the fact that I'm even stating, throw out a $20 million salary for him. He should be taking the league minimum, but that is unrealistic to ask anybody to do. However, there have been teams that attach contract clauses. Like, I don't know if you remember John Lackey. He actually signed like a 5-year deal that if he got injured in that 5-year deal with the Red Sox, he would have to pitch a season and then missed a significant amount of time or a season. He would have to pitch a season on the league minimum salary. And that ended up happening. He tore his UCL, needed Tommy John, had to pitch for like $500,000 and was bitching about it. If more players actually had the willingness to set aside some of this generational money that they, in my opinion, have not always earned, LeBron is the greatest player of all time. He's going to make the most money of all time. He's already, I think, with this contract, the first player at $500 million just in career on-court earnings. But when you, at the same time, are asking to win and not allowing your team to do more than a $12.9 million mid-level exception.
Again, I really
don't. It doesn't make sense to me.
I really don't think winning matters to LeBron at this point. I think
that's
it's
crazy.
Just finishing his career out with the Lakers, helping, I guess, them be somewhat financially flexible to try and do something, which they will not be able to. As of 14 hours ago, and it still stands because they have not made a move, they are the only team in the NBA out of all 30 teams to add no new pieces via free agency or trades.
That is just laughable.
But what they have done is they added Bronny James on a $4.4 million guaranteed contract. I'm going to, before we take a break, I'm going to run through four contracts of some recent number 55 picks and what they got. Okay.
Lamb on me, brother.
Kyle Guy, I believe, of Virginia. He played for the Virginia Cavaliers a few years ago.
He's a guy's guy.
Two-way contract. Jay Scrub, two-way contract.
I don't want no scrub.
Aaron Wiggins, who is now making a nice name for himself on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe he actually just got a new contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Two-way contract to start his career. Guy Santos, $75,000 guaranteed.
Wow.
And Bronny James, $4.4 million guaranteed.
I'm trying to think, like, in recent years, I think the lowest pick to get a guaranteed, like, 3 or 4 year deal was around 38, 39, 40. That this is unprecedented in NBA history, and we all know why.
Los Angeles Lakers, you are the biggest joke in the NBA. I will say this, though. Their stars, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, they are on a team that I am getting especially excited about. We get to that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Videos were going around in Las Vegas of USA men's basketball. The team forming, the team meeting for the first time, getting ready for the Olympics. And I'll tell you what, Jordan, it got me going. It got me excited. Seeing all these players showing up in the same room, high-fiving each other, locking up, saying hey and saying, like, you ready? Like, and seeing some of the younger players like Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton show up the room as well. I was just like, dude, let's go. Let's go. The U.S. men's soccer team will depress you. The men's basketball team should impress you. We got, well, obviously,
winners.
Yeah,
they're winners.
They actually win. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, as I mentioned in the last segment, you got old man Kevin Durant, all-time leading scorer for U.S. men's basketball, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Bam Adebayo, Drew Holiday, Kawhi Leonard, one of my favorite players, Jason Tatum, and from the hometown of Yaounde, Cameroon, Joel Embiid, who is now, I guess, gold medal chasing. Since he can't win a ring, he's going to not play for his home country.
He's on the U.S. roster?
Joel Embiid is on the USA men's roster. He moved to the United States at the age of 16, so that means that he hasn't even spent the majority of his life in the U.S.
No, and you now don't need citizenship to play for any country. I think either an association with a family member, like Joe Ingles played for either Israel or so. It's just random to see the connections that these NBA players make to these international teams. But I digress. The rest of the roster looks awesome.
So seeing them all come together, and it just reminded me, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, that's right, baby. U.S. men's basketball, Olympics basketball, let's go. I don't know what the landscape is for the rest of the national teams is like. I know that there's some qualifying tournaments going on right now. DeAndre Ayton showing out for the Bahamas team right now. I want to say that Greece just eliminated. Where's Luka from? What damn country is it?
Slovenia.
Slovenia.
Croatia.
God, it's killing me.
Luka is from.
Either way,
Slovenia.
Greece just eliminated Slovenia. Yeah. Spain, I think, is in one of these qualifying tournaments. I would imagine that the French team is probably pretty good in the Olympics.
Mavericks can finally stop holding their breath about Luka, so he won't even be in the Olympics. That's fine.
Yeah, no, yeah. The Greece team, they just eliminated them yesterday or the day before, I believe. They've got some qualifying tournaments going on. I think there's some games tomorrow. I'd have to double check, but the U.S. men's basketball team's got me excited. But what's got me, I'm not going to say just excited. I'm not even going to play coy here.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yes! Damn, we're close.
48 days. I saw this at first. It was 9 Sundays left until the first NFL Sunday of the 24-25 season. And I was like, all right, well, how many days until college football? And week 0 is August 24th. We got to start doing some little previews here soon for all of football. The August 24th, the week 0 games. Can I entertain you with some Delaware State at Hawaii?
You know what? I'm all about the Rainbow Warriors.
Is that is that the Blue Hens? No, Delaware State is the Hornets.
The Hornets versus the Warriors. I like that. And I believe it's in like Hawaii's soccer stadium. If you don't know what's going on with Hawaii, Aloha Stadium was condemned a few years ago where they play their football and baseball games because of all the rust that is acquired in a tropical climate. Shocking. Maybe you shouldn't have used metal beams to be the main support of a stadium where you're going to rust really quickly. So now they have to build a new stadium and essentially are the only team allowed by the NCAA right now to be under what the Division I, or sorry, FBS rules say, which is, I believe, like 12,000 seats for a stadium. And Hawaii right now is in like a 7,000 or 8,000 seat stadium. It's a little weird, a little wacky down there in Honolulu.
Which is why the Oregon game versus Hawaii got canceled for this year.
Exactly. And honestly, I'm a little upset about that because I was planning. This was obviously, I think, an easy one for Oregon to cancel to allow the schedule in joining the Big Ten to also make the Civil War happen with Oregon State. But I was definitely disappointed, as I'm sure we're a lot of other Oregon fans for that.
University of Delaware. Hi, I'm in Delaware. They are the Blue Hens. Delaware State, the Hornets. Montana State at New Mexico. SMU at Nevada. SMU of the ACC.
Not taking any money from the ACC either.
You know, because SMU, you know, Texas, we think of the Atlantic Ocean, right?
I mean, the fact that SMU is still a program is pretty amazing in itself, right?
Hey, they fought from the depths of hell and
yes,
got
they
back
did.
To prominence.
Yes,
okay?
They did.
And then the prominent game of week 0, Aer Lingus College Football Classic, Florida State versus Georgia Tech in Ireland. That is the marquee matchup of week 0. Florida State versus Georgia Tech in Ireland? Okay.
Why isn't Notre Dame in Ireland?
That's much better than Nebraska, Northwestern, or whatever the hell they threw out there a couple years ago.
You got it. If we're going to do the Aer Lingus Classic, then it's got to be a Notre Dame v. some other big program.
Well, that's what they did last year.
It's got to be that every year.
Notre Dame versus Navy, a vaunted 42-3 matchup.
I mean, back in the day, they played like college basketball games on aircraft carriers, and I'm pretty sure it always involved the Navy.
Yeah, and I remember on April Fool's Day, they released a graphic for a college football game to be played on an aircraft carrier.
I remember that.
And a couple people fell for it. And Andy Dirt Johnson was adamant that it could be done. And I was like, no. It, like, not in the sense of, like, logistics-wise that it's like, oh, well, we played basketball games. Like, yeah, that's a lot different than kicking off on a aircraft carrier and that ball shooting past 50 yards off the aircraft carrier. Or what if someone throws, like, a Hail Mary and the wind catches that thing? Absolutely not. There's no way that could be pulled off. The size of it could fit a football field, yes. I know that you could actually play a football game on an aircraft carrier as far as dimensions go, but if we're out on the ocean trying to play football and then a ball gets thrown in the air, the wind is carrying that thing off of the aircraft carrier. That thing would be a mess.
My vertigo is going nuts right now just hearing you describe this. No thanks.
Well, something else that's going nuts right now is the Los Angeles Lakers fan base. Or probably not, because they think everything's just fine because they're the Lakers and that there's nothing wrong with their franchise. And as long as they have LeBron James, everything's good. And might I say, thank God for LeBron James taking a pay cut. What a nice guy. It reminds me of Xerxes. I am a generous God. Like, he, what a guy. Taking $3 million less than the max, taking $101 million over the next 2 years. I mean, kudos to you, dude.
Big man.
What a nice guy.
Helping the team.
To help them get under the second apron by $45,000. Could have gotten under that second apron by, I don't know, not giving Bronny James a contract, who had a magnificent, just amazing,
it was electric.
Summer league. Just, I can't believe what I saw yesterday out of his 4 points.
2 of 9 shooting.
In his summer league debut yesterday. The Los Angeles Lakers are such a joke. Like, it is, I really, really wonder if they do care about winning a championship at this point, or they are just going off of like, hey, we're the Lakers and we're just going to sell a ton of merchandise. We're going to sell this stadium out every night. Doesn't really matter if we win or not. They have become the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA.
I would say that the Lakers are probably the most...
They already probably were, but now that the fact that they aren't winning, and say what you want about the bubble title, you know, hard title to win, I guess, being locked in Orlando for however much straight, but everybody, I mean, you can just say that that is a anomaly of a year in general. It helps when you have a 4 or 5 month break and you get all your people back healthy as well. But outside of that, dude, like, this team is such a joke. You miss out on Klay Thompson, which I don't know if that's much of missing out on right now at this point. Miss out on DeMar DeRozan. Right now, the reports are saying they're going to be going after Spencer Dinwiddie or Gary Trent Jr., which Trent Jr. is a free agent, so I don't know how the hell you're going to make that happen.
Didn't they already try Spencer Dinwiddie? I'm confused.
That's what I thought, too.
Like, I'm like, am I in the Twilight Zone? I'm pretty sure he was a Laker already, and he sucked.
Yeah, so I don't know what their next options are, but just, you know, thank God for LeBron, just being as nice of a guy as he is. I loved also some of the reports, like, for the first time in over a decade, LeBron James will take less than the max. He took $3 million less than the max. He's still taking $101 million over the next 2 years, and he only did it to help them get under that second apron, which helps out with future draft picks that they won't that they'll be able to trade now and get rid of if they want to. It's such a joke. It is such a misguided attempt at trying to make, I guess, the Lakers and LeBron seem like they're going to make a move still and make something happen. Well, the move that they're going to make is not going to move the needle. It's not going to make any difference on this team. Do we see this team really being any different next year as far as performance, overall record, what they're able to do in the playoffs? This team has been a play-in team, an 8-seed, 7-seed, whatever, for the last 3 years. What's going to change? I mean, even when you had Anthony Davis last year fully healthy, you weren't even able to get into the top 5 of the Western Conference. LeBron James is aging. Yes, I know that he is a much different 40-something-year-old NBA player than most 40-year-old NBA players out there.
It's true.
But it's like, what else are you going to get out of him? What are you going to get out of this Lakers team that you haven't already gotten the last 3 years? Like, it's just going to just pop all of a sudden, and this is going to be a 1-seed dominant force that the West doesn't know what to do with?
Yes, J.J. Redick is the secret sauce. That's exactly, I think, what's going to happen, Joe. And I think that's what they're expecting.
Also, I don't care what anybody says. If J.J. Redick isn't doing a podcast, he is not the coach of the NBA Lakers. If he before he was doing his Old Man in the Three podcast, was there any talks about him being an NBA coach, a head coach, assistant coach at all? Or was it just a matter of him starting to do the podcast, working with LeBron, showing that he does have basketball knowledge, because he clearly does, obviously. But outside of that, if he is just at home or running clinics or coaching his son's team or working, like, does he get this job? No. So again, just everything this offseason with the Los Angeles Lakers has been an absolute joke and an epic failure. And to me, I don't see why any Laker fan should have faith in what this franchise does going forward, because it's an absolute joke from LeBron to Pelinka to Jeannie Buss, top to bottom. This franchise is a joke.
I mean, they're still paying Gabe Vincent, what, $11 million a year after that free agent acquisition last year? Didn't work out very well for them in the playoffs. I look at the Lakers as, I would say, not just in the NBA, but the most incestuous franchise, the most incestuous organization in all of sports, right? And they're damn lucky that they had one of the greatest, not only players of all time, you know, in Jerry West, basically vaulting them to national prominence, along with a bevy of roster of others. But what I'm trying to say is then having that same passion stick around to turn to try to run your team to turn them into a champion. And literally, the buses would be nowhere if it weren't for Jerry West, right? They are lucky that he decided to put his life into trying to make that team something. They are lucky that he had the wherewithal to trade Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant. And they would be nowhere. I mean, fake Rob Lowe, because, yeah, Rob Pelinka is literally Rob Lowe's twin. I still think Rob Lowe's taken off, like, the Weight Watchers wig and then going to these games and giving these press conferences as a, quote-unquote, Rob Pelinka. But the Lakers are one of the luckiest franchises of all time. They are so small. We are seeing the incestuous vibes from them with this doing anything to please LeBron mentality that they have, anything to keep him in town. And you bring up a great point about him taking way less money, way less, being $3 million, while still expecting that the Los Angeles Lakers give his son a fully guaranteed, what, 3-4 year contract. And I believe the rookie scales $1.7, $1.8 million to start. So as a rookie at 55 overall, and he's bronze kid, but he is getting more than any 55th overall pick has ever gotten in NBA history. And that alone should have told the Lakers, you know what? No, like we can't make this work. But the story is so much more important to them, in my opinion, at this point than actual championships, that they will do absolutely anything to keep LeBron happy. And I don't think you're a fan, just like I'm not a fan of asking athletes to take less money, Joe. But I do believe LeBron James could have pulled a Tom Brady, could have pulled a Patrick Mahomes here.
A lot of athletes in a lot of leagues can pull a Tom Brady. It's just...
Yeah. They should. I mean, and he's the guy that has the power to be able to do so, I guess, is what I'm saying. He's got that so dude, many yeah. career earnings. He's got billions coming in from Nike for the rest of his life. What is one or two seasons with a $20 million salary in the NBA? And the fact that I'm even stating, throw out a $20 million salary for him. He should be taking the league minimum, but that is unrealistic to ask anybody to do. However, there have been teams that attach contract clauses. Like, I don't know if you remember John Lackey. He actually signed like a 5-year deal that if he got injured in that 5-year deal with the Red Sox, he would have to pitch a season and then missed a significant amount of time or a season. He would have to pitch a season on the league minimum salary. And that ended up happening. He tore his UCL, needed Tommy John, had to pitch for like $500,000 and was bitching about it. If more players actually had the willingness to set aside some of this generational money that they, in my opinion, have not always earned, LeBron is the greatest player of all time. He's going to make the most money of all time. He's already, I think, with this contract, the first player at $500 million just in career on-court earnings. But when you, at the same time, are asking to win and not allowing your team to do more than a $12.9 million mid-level exception.
Again, I really don't.
It doesn't make sense to me.
I really don't think winning matters to LeBron at this point. I think it's crazy, just finishing his career out with the Lakers, helping, I guess, them be somewhat financially flexible to try and do something, which they will not be able to. As of 14 hours ago, and it still stands because they have not made a move, they are the only team in the NBA out of all 30 teams to add no new pieces via free agency or trades.
That is just laughable.
But what they have done is they added Bronny James on a $4.4 million guaranteed contract. I'm going to, before we take a break, I'm going to run through four contracts of some recent number 55 picks and what they got. Okay.
Lamb on me, brother.
Kyle Guy, I believe, of Virginia. He played for the Virginia Cavaliers a few years ago.
He's a guy's guy.
Two-way contract. Jay Scrub, two-way contract.
I don't want no scrub.
Aaron Wiggins, who is now making a nice name for himself on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe he actually just got a new contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Two-way contract to start his career. Guy Santos, $75,000 guaranteed.
Wow.
And Bronny James, $4.4 million guaranteed.
I'm trying to think, like, in recent years, I think the lowest pick to get a guaranteed, like, 3 or 4 year deal was around 38, 39, 40. This is unprecedented in NBA history, and we all know why.
Los Angeles Lakers, you are the biggest joke in the NBA. I will say this, though. Their stars, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, they are on a team that I am getting especially excited about. We get to that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Videos were going around in Las Vegas of USA men's basketball. The team forming, the team meeting for the first time, getting ready for the Olympics. And I'll tell you what, Jordan, it got me going. It got me excited. Seeing all these players showing up in the same room, high-fiving each other, locking up, saying hey and saying, like, you ready? Like, and seeing some of the younger players like Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton show up the room as well. I was just like, dude, let's go. Let's go. The U.S. men's soccer team will depress you. The men's basketball team should impress you. We got
winners.
They actually win. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, as I mentioned in the last segment. You got old man Kevin Durant, all-time leading scorer for U.S. men's basketball. Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Bam Adebayo, Drew Holiday, Kawhi Leonard, one of my favorite players, Jason Tatum. And from the hometown of Yaoundé, Cameroon, Joel Embiid, who is now, I guess, gold medal chasing. Since he can't win a ring, he's going to not play for his home country.
He's on the U.S. roster?
Joel Embiid is on the USA men's roster. He moved to the United States at the age of 16, so that means that he hasn't even spent the majority of his life in the U.S.
No, and you now don't need citizenship to play for any country. I think either an association with a family member, like Joe Ingles played for either Israel or so. It's just random to see the connections that these NBA players make to these international teams. But I digress. The rest of the roster looks awesome.
So seeing them all come together, and it just reminded me, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, that's right, baby. U.S. men's basketball, Olympics basketball, let's go. I don't know what the landscape is for the rest of the national teams is like. I know that there's some qualifying tournaments going on right now. DeAndre Ayton showing out for the Bahamas team right now. I want to say that Greece just eliminated. Where's Luka from? What damn country is it?
Slovenia.
Slovenia.
Croatia.
God, it's killing me.
Luka is from.
Either way,
Slovenia.
Greece just eliminated Slovenia. Yeah. Spain, I think, is in one of these qualifying tournaments. I would imagine that the French team is probably pretty good in the Olympics.
Mavericks can finally stop holding their breath about Luka, so he won't even be in the Olympics. That's fine.
Yeah, no, yeah. The Greece team, they just eliminated them yesterday or the day before, I believe. They've got some qualifying tournaments going on. I think there's some games tomorrow. I'd have to double check, but the U.S. men's basketball team's got me excited. But what's got me, I'm not going to say just excited. I'm not even going to play coy here. Do you know who is on the U.S. men's 3-on-3 basketball team?
Not the men's. I knew Cameron Brink. Unfortunately, this news came down before she tore her ACL. Just what a terrible injury. She was going to be on the women's 3-on-3 team.
That is correct.
WNBA player. She's awesome. And God, she is a fox, I must say. But I do not know who's on the men's team. And props to the news for letting me know about these ladies and me knowing more about them than the men's team. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, as far as the women's 3-on-3 team, I don't know who is on the USA women's 3-on-3 team this year. Let's see here.
Haley Van Lith.
Okay.
Ryan Howard, it looks like. Sierra Burdick. Literally, like, just all big names. And then Brink is getting replaced, obviously, because of injury. Derica Hamby as well rounds out that list of five.
So they got six players on the roster. The U.S. men's team has four players. I'm going to go from least known to most known on this team. two of these guys I had never heard of in my life.
Is Mac McClung on the roster for the USA 3-on-3?
No, Mac McClung is not.
NBA dunk champion.
First player on this roster, Dylan Travis.
Is that a country star?
That's exactly what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, that is a country music singer name if I've ever seen one. He is from Omaha, so very well could maybe be a country star in his future career.
Yeah, we sure he's not just there singing the anthem? Oh, say, can you see?
He might. He might. From Florida Southern College. So there's Dylan Travis. Our next U.S. men's basketball player is Kareem Maddox. Does that name ring a bell at all? Because it didn't for me.
And no, and I'm going to guess it's like Maddox, like M-A-D-D-I-X.
M-A-D-D-O-X. Like,
oh, there you, all right. Well, at least it's actually like Tommy Maddox, like Kareem the Maddox spelling I've known.
Out of Princeton. So that's probably another reason why we do not remember him. All these guys are like 30, 34, 35 also. So,
whoa. These are like my age, your age guys?
Yes. Dylan Travis, I think, is the youngest on the team at 31 years old. Second youngest on the team at 31 years old.
What are we doing?
Well, and I had to look this up, and it made sense. It was like, oh, well, duh, once I pulled it up. But there's like no NBA players on any of the men's team because it's like you have to train, you have to be doing qualifying tournaments. Like, 3-on-3 men's basketball is a thing. Like, you are dedicated to the cause. You are not in the NBA. You might be playing in an overseas league, but some of their tournaments coincide with the NBA season.
Yeah.
So you can't be on a 3-on-3 team and also in the NBA.
But I would think that there's a couple of ringers that you'd want to bring on in a normal situation. I bet, Joe, I'd bet the house I don't own that there's some contractual obligations that keep them tied to the NBA, as opposed to the WNBA, where they're like, hey, our star is going to play 3-on-3 basketball, is going to grow the game. I don't think the NBA really needs that growth.
Oh, buddy. Just wait until I get to these next two names. We got some stars, okay?
I mean, I'm kind of concerned Steve Blake, former Blazer, is about to pop up on this list, bro.
Not Steve Blake.
Okay.
But I give you son of Rick Barry, Canyon Barry.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
The granny free throw shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Canyon Barry,
baby.
Let's go. All right. The gold is ours. Got it. U.S. going to take it all for the 3-on-3, baby.
Oh, I haven't even gotten to the star of the team. Yes, we have Canyon Barry, granny free throw shooter himself. Set Florida's all-time records for consecutive free throws made with 42 and for most 20-point games off the bench in a single season with 4. That's one of his college notes here.
Yeah.
But your star player for the U.S. men's 3-on-3 basketball team out of BYU. Jimmer effing Fredette.
No! We are bringing back the Chinese MVP, like, Jimmer Fredette. He left the NBA a decade ago to go play for, like, the Shanghai Dragons. He's been scoring 30 a game ever
effing
since.
Effing Fredette.
Whoa!
At 35 years young, out of Glen Falls, New York, you're starting,
one, two, or three,
whichever you choose, Jimmer Fredette. Once I saw that he was on this roster, it got me a little excited. I was like, I'm going to have to tune in to some 3-on-3 basketball, baby.
Tonight, Jimmer Fredette takes on Greece. Like, no. This is going to be crazy.
I want to say in my pre-show research of 3-on-3 basketball, which consisted of, I believe, like 30 minutes, if that, we do not have the best team, but we have a good team. I want to say the best 3-on-3 basketball team goes to Serbia.
Ah, okay.
Yes, they apparently have the best of all of them. FIBA's 3x3 team rankings, has Serbia as the number one rated team in the FIBA 3-on-3 rankings, I guess, which didn't know that was a thing, but I guess you got to keep track of this somehow. Serbia 1, Miami 2, Amsterdam 3, Lithuania 4, and I don't even know what this is. What is BRN?
Republic Borneo? Of Nigeria? I'm not sure. BRN?
I don't even...
BRN country.
The team...
Brunei is a tiny nation on the island of Borneo. So yeah, the island of Borneo contains a tiny nation called Brunei or Brunei. I don't know.
Well, they got the number 5 team, so watch out for them, whoever the hell or wherever the hell they're from.
What? This is so random.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm trying to look up the flag as well.
Yeah, no, it's Brunei. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. USA, clean sweep, win it all. They better hold up their end of the bargain. That's all I'm saying. We're going to get the 5-on-5 championship, but we better win the 3-on-3. I want a clean men's basketball sweep. I want a clean sweep in all basketball. I want U.S. men's 3-on-3 and 5-on-5, women's 3-on-3 and 5-on-5. I want a clean sweep in all 4 of these competitions at the Olympics.
Greatest in the world. Got to hold up to it.
Damn it. All right. That wraps up hour number 1. I'm stoked for Olympics. They are right around the corner. What I do want to get to next here on Sports Sunday is we got a Summer League roster. We got a Summer League roster to go over. We also had a weekend of emotions for the Oregon Ducks, and we have some possible history that could be made today in the MLB. An insane record that I haven't even begun to think of until this week. And when we talk about it, again, we will realize how insane of a record this is. We get to that next. Hour number 2 coming up here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Videos were going around in Las Vegas of USA men's basketball, the team forming, the team meeting for the first time, getting ready for the Olympics. And I'll tell you what, Jordan, it got me going. It got me excited. Seeing all these players showing up in the same room, high-fiving each other, locking up, saying hey and saying like, you ready? Like, and seeing some of the younger players like Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton show up the room as well. I was just like, dude, let's go. Let's go. The U.S. men's soccer team will depress you. The men's basketball team should impress you. We got
winners.
They actually win. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, as I mentioned in the last segment. You got old man Kevin Durant, all-time leading scorer for U.S. men's basketball. Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Bam Adebayo, Drew Holiday, Kawhi Leonard, one of my favorite players, Jason Tatum. And from the hometown of Yaoundé, Cameroon, Joel Embiid, who is now, gold medal chasing. Since he can't win a ring, he's going to not play for his home country.
He's on the U.S. roster?
Joel Embiid is on the USA men's roster.
Okay. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to
He moved to the United States at the age of 16, so that means that he hasn't even spent the majority of his life in the U.S.
No, and you now don't need citizenship to play for any country. I think either an association with a family member, like Joe Ingles played for either Israel or so. It's just random to see the connections that these NBA players make to these international teams. But I digress. The rest of the roster looks awesome.
So seeing them all come together, and it just reminded me, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, that's right, baby. U.S. men's basketball, Olympics basketball, let's go. I don't know what the landscape is for the rest of the national teams is like. I know that there's some qualifying tournaments going on right now. DeAndre Ayton showing out for the Bahamas team right now. I want to say that Greece just eliminated. Where's Luka from? What damn country is it?
Slovenia.
Slovenia.
Croatia.
God, it's killing me.
Luka is from.
Either way,
Slovenia.
Greece just eliminated Slovenia. Yeah. Spain, I think, is in one of these qualifying tournaments. I would imagine that the French team is probably pretty good in the Olympics.
Mavericks can finally stop holding their breath about Luka, so he won't even be in the Olympics. That's fine.
Yeah, no, yeah. The Greece team, they just eliminated them yesterday or the day before, I believe. They've got some qualifying tournaments going on. I think there's some games tomorrow. I'd have to double check, but the U.S. men's basketball team's got me excited. But what's got me, I'm not going to say just excited. I'm not even going to play coy here. Do you know who is on the U.S. men's 3-on-3 basketball team?
Not the men's. I knew Cameron Brink. Unfortunately, this news came down before she tore her ACL. Just what a terrible injury. She was going to be on the women's 3-on-3 team.
That is correct.
Player. She's awesome. And God, she is a fox, I must say. But I do not know who's on the men's team. And props to the news for letting me know about these ladies and me knowing more about them than the men's team. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, as far as the women's 3-on-3 team, I don't know who is on the USA women's 3-on-3 team this year. Let's see here.
Haley Van Lith.
Okay.
Ryan Howard, it looks like. Sierra Burdick. Literally, like, just all big names. And then Brink is getting replaced, obviously, because of injury. Derica Hamby as well rounds out that list of five.
So they got six players on the roster. The U.S. men's team has four players. I'm going to go from least known to most known on this team. two of these guys I had never heard of in my life.
Is Mac McClung on the roster for the USA 3-on-3?
No, Mac McClung is not.
NBA dunk champion.
First player on this roster, Dylan Travis.
Is that a country star?
That's exactly what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, that is a country music singer name if I've ever seen one. He is from Omaha, so very well could maybe be a country star in his future career.
Yeah, we sure he's not just there singing the anthem? Oh, say, can you see?
He might. From Florida Southern College. So there's Dylan Travis. Our next U.S. men's basketball player is Kareem Maddox. Does that name ring a bell at all? Because it didn't for me.
And I'm gonna guess it's like Maddox, like M-A-D-D-I-X.
M-A-D-D-O-X.
Like, oh, there you, all right. Well, at least it's actually like Tommy Maddox, like Kareem the Maddox spelling I've known.
Out of Princeton. So that's probably another reason why we do not remember him. All these guys are like 30, 34, 35 also. So
whoa, these are like my age, your age guys?
Yes, Dylan Travis, I think, is the youngest on the team at 31 years old. Second youngest on the team at 31 years old.
What are we doing?
Well, and I had to look this up, and it made sense. It was like, oh, well, duh, once I pulled it up. But there's like no NBA players on any of the men's team because it's like you have to train. You have to be doing qualifying tournaments. Like 3-on-3 men's basketball is a thing. Like you are dedicated to the cause. You are not in the NBA. You might be playing in an overseas league, but some of their tournaments coincide with the NBA season.
Yeah.
So you can't be on a 3-on-3 team and also in the NBA.
But I would think that there's a couple of ringers that you'd want to bring on in a normal situation. I bet, Joe, I bet the house I don't own that there's some contractual obligations that keep them tied to the NBA, as opposed to the WNBA, where they're like, hey, our star is going to play 3-on-3 basketball, is going to grow the game. I don't think the NBA really needs that growth.
Oh, buddy. Just wait until I get to these next two names. We got some stars, okay?
I mean, I'm kind of concerned Steve Blake, former Blazer, is about to pop up on this list, bro.
Not Steve Blake.
Okay.
But I give you son of Rick Barry, Canyon Barry.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
The granny free throw shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Canyon Barry,
baby.
Let's go. All right. The gold is ours. Got it. U.S. going to take it all for the 3-on-3, baby.
Oh, I haven't even gotten to the star of the team. Yes, we have Canyon Barry, granny free throw shooter himself. Set Florida's all-time records for consecutive free throws made with 42 and for most 20-point games off the bench in a single season with 4. That's one of his college notes here.
Yeah.
But your star player for the U.S. men's 3-on-3 basketball team out of BYU. Jimmer effing Fredette.
No! We are bringing back the Chinese MVP, like, Jimmer Fredette. He left the NBA a decade ago to go play for, like, the Shanghai Dragons. He's been scoring 30 a game ever
effing
since.
Effing Fredette.
Whoa!
At 35 years young, out of Glen Falls, New York, you're starting,
Three, one, two, or three,
whichever you choose, Jimmer Fredette. Once I saw that he was on this roster, it got me a little excited. I was like, I'm going to have to tune in to some 3-on-3 basketball, baby.
Tonight, Jimmer Fredette takes on Greece. Like, no. This is going to be crazy.
I want to say in my pre-show research of 3-on-3 basketball, which consisted of, I believe, like 30 minutes, if that, we do not have the best team, but we have a good team. I want to say the best 3-on-3 basketball team goes to Serbia.
Ah, okay.
Yes, they apparently have the best of all of them. FIBA's 3x3 team rankings, has Serbia as the number one rated team in the FIBA 3-on-3 rankings, I guess, which didn't know that was a thing, but I guess you got to keep track of this somehow. Serbia 1, Miami 2, Amsterdam 3, Lithuania 4, and I don't even know what this is. What is BRN?
Republic
Borneo?
Nigeria? I'm not sure. BRN?
I don't even...
BRN country.
The team...
Brunei. Brunei is a tiny nation on the island of Borneo. So yeah, the island of Borneo contains a tiny nation called Brunei or Bruni. I don't know.
Well, they got the number 5 team, so watch out for them, whoever the hell or wherever the hell they're from.
What? This is so random.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm trying to look up the flag as well.
Yeah, no, it's Brunei.
Doesn't matter. USA, clean sweep, win it all. They better hold up their end of the bargain. That's all I'm saying. We're going to get the 5-on-5 championship, but we better win the 3-on-3. I want a clean men's basketball sweep. I want a clean sweep in all basketball. I want U.S. men's 3-on-3 and 5-on-5, women's 3-on-3 and 5-on-5. I want a clean sweep in all 4 of these competitions at the Olympics.
Greatest in the world. Got to hold up to it.
Damn it. All right. That wraps up hour number 1. I'm stoked for Olympics. They are right around the corner. What I do want to get to next here on Sports Sunday is we got a summer league roster. We got a summer league roster to go over. We also had a weekend of emotions for the Oregon Ducks, and we have some possible history that could be made today in the MLB. An insane record that I haven't even begun to think of until this week. And when we talk about it, again, we will realize how insane of a record this is. We get to that next. Hour number 2 coming up here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.